with you on this crispy Sunday morning. New England Patriots play their season finale today against the Buffalo Bills. 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on. Right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Lions, we mentioned it quickly before the break there, and I want to get more into it. The New England Patriots, if they lose today to the Buffalo Bills and Mitch Trubisky, will find themselves in possession of the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. They clearly have their quarterback. They don't need the quarterback. You said you are, in fact, a trade-down guy no matter what. I'm curious kind of just on why you are there, what brought you to that decision. Are you just not a Travis Hunter guy? Kind of where you stand with the number one overall pick?
So I think far and away, Shime, their biggest need is going to be tackle in this draft. They're going to come away with at least one, potentially two, depending on how they feel about Caden Wallace. I know free agency is going to factor in as well, but I think you can trade down, whether it's from one or from pick three, and you can stay in the top 10. You can add at least an extra first, probably two second-round picks as well, and still get a starting left tackle of the future with that pick in the top 10, whether it's Kelvin Banks, whether they end up liking Will Campbell the best, who knows? Maybe Josh Simmons sneaks up on their draft board. I don't know, but I think you can get a starting caliber left tackle, which I think is the most important thing for Drake May, not just now, but through the course of his career. And again, you'll have an extra first, probably extra multiple second round picks. Because I would rather, when it comes to, like you mentioned, Travis Hunter, when it comes to the receiver position, I'd rather invest in veterans, whether that's T. Higgins in free agency or one of my second round picks, assuming I trade down, traded for a veteran receiver such as a DK Metcalf or someone of that ilk. That's what I would much rather do and use that first round pick on a tackle. And again, I think you can trade down and still get a good one.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I also want to trade down from the number one overall pick and just get a haul. Like, I've heard there have been a couple people that have called in and been like, no, you just take the best player available at number one. And I'm like, that doesn't help you. Like, if you were to take Travis Hunter or even if you were to take one of those tackles at one, like, okay, cool. That doesn't make you that much better. Like, it's like, the point is of having number one for the New England Patriots is to be able to acquire a ton of assets and really kind of allow yourself an opportunity to build for the future. You look at what the Lions did and the Texans and like all those different teams that just had millions of first round picks and opportunities to draft really talented players. And you can get a blue chip offensive lineman in the back half of the top 10. Like, that is absolutely in play. I mean, Joe Alt went, what, 5 this year? J.C. Latham has actually been really good for the Tennessee Titans. He went in the back half of the top 10 last year as well. So, like, there's plenty of opportunity to get really good starting offensive linemen in that later top 10 area. And so I'm with you. I want to trade down. I want to acquire as many assets as I can get. I don't know exactly what the value is going to be, like how many assets you're going to get.
It's not like last year where you have Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May that if any team had wanted to trade up for them, they would have given up a boatload. Now, I think this year, you know, you might like Cam Ward. I think he can be a good player. Travis Hunter, obviously Heisman winner. He's the big star. So there's going to be teams that want those guys. I don't know if the level of interest would be the same if, say, the Patriots had opened up the number three pick last year and teams wanted Drake May to that level. So, but again, I still think if you trade down, you'll get two firsts, including a swap, obviously, this year. But two firsts, I think two seconds, and maybe one other pick as well, which are extremely valuable things to have. Because remember, if you have the first overall pick, you're also going to have the 33rd overall pick to start round two. So if you have that pick plus another pick in the top 10 of the second round, you can either use both on two potentially really good players, the Jalen Polk pick last year notwithstanding, or you could use one of them and trade the other one for a legit veteran that you can plug in right away that you know will produce.
Yeah, it's kind of come down to who really wants the quarterback, right? Because I talked about it the other day. I felt like if you were to go from, let's say, 1 to 4, right, you were able to convince the Giants to come up and get one of those two quarterbacks. Like, I don't know that you're going to get quite as much as you think you are. Like, I definitely, you get the pick swap. You definitely get a future one. I don't know if it's next year's one or 2 years from now one, but you definitely get a future one. And then on top of it, I don't think you get a second. Like, I think the numbers would be like a 1-3-5 plus the swap, right? Like, that to me.
Yeah, if you're only going down a few spots, I could see it. Like, I'm thinking if you traded down from 1 or 2 to like 8, then maybe you would get multiple seconds on top of like multiple firsts.
Yeah, maybe, but like I feel like that would be I don't know if anybody's willing to pay that price for Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, I guess, is where I'm at. Right? Like I'm not sure.
It's not like last year.
No, it's not. Like those guys, all three of those top three guys, everybody wanted them. The Giants would have given you everything they had to move from 6 to 3 last year for Drake May. They would have.
Yep.
But that's not the case this year, and so I just, unfortunately, as much as it's nice to have the first pick and be able to kind of get some assets, I don't think you're going to get the King's ransom that you would have like somewhat like last year.
Yeah, like I think the team to watch is Vegas because right now they're slotted to pick 8th overall.
Correct.
They definitely need a quarterback. If you're at 1 yep. or 2, I could see them giving up a lot to get you, especially if they keep Antonio Pierce because he'll be on the hot seat going into next year. They have some talent there. They obviously acquired picks for sending Davante Adams to the Jets. So that to me is the team. Or I could even see them trading down. Like you mentioned the Giants at 4. It wouldn't shock me, Scheim, if the Patriots are at 1, if they trade down with the Giants at 4 and then trade down again with the Raiders at 8, if, say, there's a quarterback that slips a little bit that the Raiders want to go up to 4 and maybe try to get. So the team that I'm watching most, really, in this first round of the draft is probably going to be the Raiders because they have the clear quarterback need, but they're just far enough away from that top 2 or 3 where I don't think a quarterback would fall to them at 8, but they could use a bunch of assets and get up and get that guy.
Yeah, so I guess the bigger question now for me would be, should Elliott Wolf be the one making these picks and making these trades and making these decisions? Where do you stand currently on Elliott Wolf? We've talked a lot about the coaching staff, but I'm curious your thoughts on the GM.
Yeah, by the way, did you hear Elliott Wolf yesterday say that he thought there'd be more internal development? How about a shot at the coaching staff with that one and some of the players as well?
He should do some self-respect, introspection, because the players he drafted have not been good. He even named Jalen Polk. I think he said something like Jalen Polk we thought would be plug and play, and that just hasn't happened. Yes, sir, that's because you picked him and he stinks.
And look, this is my philosophy on it, is Elliott Wolf came in midway through last offseason, essentially, because the scouting cycle starts way back in the previous summer. He really got elevated in January, though he didn't get the title till after the draft. So about halfway through, I would maybe like to see another year of Elliott Wolf, but what I would like to see is them hire somebody either at his level or maybe even above his level that's had experience as a general manager, that has experience building successful teams, whether that's a Thomas Dimitroff who's interviewed with the Jets, whether that's you get Scott Pioli out of retirement, whether you want to get really crazy and tell Sean McVay he can do whatever he wants and run your football organization.
That's not going to happen.
I know, but something like that, like Dimitroff to me is the guy. If president of football operations type title, something like that. I would love somebody alongside Elliott Wolf that has a successful track record of building really good teams. Because again, you look at this front office, Elliott Wolf doesn't have a track record of building good teams. Mack Rowe doesn't have that track record of building good teams.
Fire him into the sun. I want nothing to do with Mack Rowe.
Well, and I think Mack Rowe too, what stands out to me about him is he got promoted in the winter of 2022, and then that draft, all of a sudden the Patriots picked everybody based off relative athletic score. I think that's a direct connection. I think that was a growth thing then, and I wonder, is that still a thing they're going to look for now in the first full offseason of Matt Grow and Elliott Wolf? Are they going to say, hey, we're looking at all these metrics? Are they going to be able to sit there and say, oh, no, George Pickens is a better football player than Tyquan Thornton, we'll just pick him, right? Like, so how are they going to approach it? That's why, again, I'm okay if they keep Elliott Wolf, but I don't want it to just be Elliott Wolf. I want them to bring in an experienced voice, either at his level or even a level above him, to steer him and steer the organization, because this is a pivotal draft. I mean, I know we've said this, I feel like, Scheim, for 3 or 4 years in a row, but this is a truly pivotal draft. You have the answer at quarterback long-term in Drake May. Finally, first time post-Brady, you can sit here and say, we definitely feel like we have the answer at quarterback, but you have a ton of holes around that young quarterback. This offseason and this draft specifically is a massive, massive opportunity to fill, or at least begin to fill, many of those holes and set you up to be a good team in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah, you have that opportunity. I don't trust Elliott Wolf. I don't trust anybody in this front office. Like, I think the front office, more than the coaching staff, needs a total, complete overhaul. Get everybody out of there. Bring in somebody, sure, like a Dimitrov, I don't care. Somebody who knows what the hell they're doing and can fill out an entire personnel department with people that they can hire and actually spend money on hiring those people. Because what you have right now, nobody, not a single person in that personnel department currently knows how to evaluate talent. Nobody. They fell ass backwards into Drake May because he was the third quarterback on the board and you had the third pick. So you don't get credit for that. And then every other pick you made sucked. It's been bad. And like, it's just, it's embarrassing. And even before that, the year before that, like, how are you picking Tyquan Thornton over George Pickens? How are you taking Cole Strange in the first round of
instead
the NFL
of
draft?
Trent McDuffie, right?
Like, what are we doing? And like who is doing this? I do a better job evaluating talent. I'm a nerd that works at a sports radio station in the city of Boston. I'm not in a personnel department, and yet I could have picked better players in the last two drafts than the people that have done that for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and look, I do give them credit for the Drake May pick because they could have traded down. They could have picked someone else. So I'll give them that one. But you look at their offseason as a whole. I mean, their two top offensive line acquisitions aren't with the team anymore in Okorafor and Nick Leverett. Jalen Polk and Javon Baker have made no impact offensively. Caden Wallace, I know it's an injury thing. So, you know, jury's still out on him. And, of course, we can't judge a whole draft based off 1 year. But I just look at this roster and I think, how many impact players did they bring in the last 12 months?
Zero.
I can think of Drake May. I can think of Antonio Gibson to an extent, but he's still a complimentary piece. And I'd say the same thing about Austin Hooper. So you brought in one true impact guy in Drake May and two complimentary pieces in Gibson and Hooper. And other than that, you're right, basically zero beyond that of impact guys in one offseason. And that, to me, is the concerning part because, like you said before, even if you trade down and you get a haul, you still have to get that right. I mean, there's plenty of times that teams, I mean, remember when the Falcons traded up to get Julio Jones and the Browns traded way down and got all those picks? How many of those guys the Browns picked do you remember with all that haul of picks they got for Julio Jones? And that's just one example. So for every Herschel Walker trade, there's another trade where a team trades down and they don't get any impact players with those guys they traded down for. So,
and even
yes,
like with the guys that you mentioned that they brought in via free agency, with Antonio Gibson, you can't run the football because your offensive line stinks too bad. Like, so he has had limited impact. And even Austin Hooper was non-existent prior to Drake May taking over. Yeah. With Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, 31 yards, 2 catches, 1 for 5, 1 for 19, 2 for 13, 1 for 9, 1 for 5. Then Drake May takes over, and he's 32, 15, 8, 64, 35, 59, 42, 38, 55, 19. So, like, he wasn't even good until Drake May took over. Like, that's how bad your offseason acquisitions were on top of horrible draft class after horrible draft class.
Yeah, it's a great point, right? Because you bring in one impact guy, two complementary pieces to, by the way, complement a roster that wasn't that good in the first place because you went from 2017 through 2022 where you drafted, what, two or three total impact players in all those drafts? And that's a run of time where Matt Groh was around for most, if not all of that. Elliott Wolf was around for some of that. So I know when it comes to their drafting from 17 to 22, which is, I think, the biggest reason why they're bad, the primary responsibility is on Bill, but it's not like he worked alone in the personnel department and he was the only guy there. Like, you have a lot of guys there that either came up with him or that he brought in and hired that were part of those drafts that basically gave you nothing. I mean, Shime, from 2018 to 2022, they used 5 first-round picks on offense. Only one of those guys is still playing right now, and it's Cole Strange.
Like, that's insane.
Sony Michel gave you one good year. Isaiah Wynn gave you nothing. N'Keal Harry gave you nothing. Mac Jones gave you one good year. And Cole Strange has given you 7 or 8 good games total. So 5 first-round picks, one of them still here making an impact. That's it. And, again, we can blame Bill, and he was the most responsible person, sure, just like he was the most responsible for their good drafts all those years. But Groh and Wolf, they were there too. So how much of this was them? And this offseason, this past offseason, not a great check in their column when it comes to that evaluation.
Yeah, this front office does not deserve any opportunity to select more players. You're just asking for more years of ineptitude if you do that. I mean, you can go back to the last three drafts and just look at them, and they're all horrendous. Like, it's like a 2021 draft, the only guys still on the team are Barmore, who's dealing with blood clots. That's something you can't control. That's whatever. And then Stevenson, who didn't deserve the contract you gave him, by the way, puts the ball on the turf 8 times this year.
Yeah, you were right about that. I remember you and I debated that in June.
I lost my mind.
The nail on the head with that. But yeah, I mean, that's only a few years ago. I mean, look at 2022. Okay,
this draft class is terrible.
2022, you have two. That's 2 years ago. You have two guys left from that draft. One is Cole Strange. The other's Marcus Jones.
Marcus Jones, decent player. Cole Strange is like a rotational offensive line piece. He should not start.
Maybe Cole Strange can grow into a pretty good offensive lineman, but
think about it.
From an entire draft, do you want one pretty good offensive lineman?
Especially in the first round?
Right, and one pretty good defensive back. And that's where there's the kind of butterfly effect, where if in 2022 you take Trent McDuffie in the first round, then you don't need to take Christian Gonzalez in the first round the next year, so you have room to take another tackle or do whatever you want there in that first round. But, and again, I love Gonzalez. I think he's the best player on the team. It's just that butterfly effect. You go back to 2018. If you take Nick Chubb instead of Sony Michel, then maybe you don't need to draft Ramondre Stevenson a few years later. Like, it's this, you follow bad drafts with trying to catch up for it, and that's why they're in the position they're in. And again, a lot of these guys that were here for those bad drafts are still here. Like, that's a concern.
It is a major concern. 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in real quick before we hit the break, Paul on the Cape wants to talk about the draft. What's up, Paul?
Hey, I agree with both of you guys. They need to get a haul, and the number one overall pick is what they have to have, because you're going to get more with that. They have to lose today, and they have to. And I'm so scared that they're not going to lose, because that's typical of what's going on. But the person I blame the most for this is Kraft. The Kraft family needs to open up the checkbook and start paying people. And I have a prediction for you. They won't pick in the first round till after 10. I don't know who they're going to trade with. I don't know how it's going to shake down. But that's another thing that Kraft always does. He hates paying that first round money in the top set. He hates it. They've done it before. That's his MO. Guaranteed that their first pick next year in the April draft will occur after the next pick. Guaranteed.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't know that they'll trade out of the top 10.
I hope not. I mean, you look at that area.
You need a good player.
New Orleans at 10, Indy at 12, Arizona 14. Like, there's some teams there that might want to come up, but yeah, I don't want to get beyond pick 9, to be honest with you.
Same.
Like, because pick 9 gets me either Kelvin Banks or Will Campbell,
correct,
I think, no matter what. So I don't want to get beyond pick number 9.
I agree. 617-779-7937. More Scheim and Lyons coming up here, but right now let's get you caught up with what's trending. Scheim and Lyons here with you on WEEI, 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in, the WEEI Football Sunday program coming up at around 10 a.m. this morning. Arcand, Mego, and Dan Ball will get you ready for the New England Patriots today with a slew of guests like Fitzy and Hart and Tommy Curran and Wiggy's Keys. All of them will be with you on Football Sunday starting at 10 a.m. We've been talking a lot about your New England Patriots today. Between Gerard Mayo, should he keep his job, kind of the rest of the coaching staff. We just got into the number one pick and Elliot Wolf and keeping his job. John, I wanted to mention a couple texts real quick while I saw this. 207 text. No more half measures. If they blow it up, they need to clean house entirely and start from square one.
So that's one thing. Like, it's an option, and it's one route to go. But what does that exactly look like? If you start from square one, does that mean you don't want to hire Mike Vrabel because he's been here before, or you don't want to hire Brian Flores because he's been here before, or you don't want to hire Thomas Dimitroff because he's been here before, or is that, hey, we just want to get rid of everyone and bring in new people even if they've been here before? So that's that can be a slippery slope too, because there are guys here. As bad as the season as it's been, Scheim, and really last 2 years, like, I think Mike Pellegrino coaching your corners is a really good coach. So do you want to fire that guy too? Like, and I think Scott Peters, considering he's had no talent on the offensive line, it's tough to tell whether or not he's a good coach or not. Do you just want to blow him out? I mean, he could be a good coach. And there, I'm sure there's some guys on their scouting staff that are probably competent and that are pretty good and that maybe haven't been listened to over the past few years. So it's an option, certainly. I just think you have to be careful where we're angry and we're frustrated with how the season has gone and the last 2 years have gone, and even some of the scapegoating of Bill over the course of the offseason. I mean, we all remember the "we're going to have less of a hard-ass culture" comment and things like that. But I think you have to be careful where if you just want to blow everything out, well, then what is the replacements look like? Because you don't want to be sitting here on January 5th of 2026, a year from now, having the exact same conversation.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I think you do need to start completely over. Like, I think you need to completely erase what was once the New England Patriots and really actually start over. Like, I think they took the first step to doing that when they fired Bill Belichick, but I don't think they knew how to entirely get there. And so there's just too many people with, like, the old weird ways of thinking that were basically what Bill kind of, you know, built here. And I think they need an entirely new perspective. And they need a legitimate football person to come in and hire all these new people. The Kraft should not be the one to do it. Robin Glazer shouldn't be in these interviews. The Kraft shouldn't be in the interviews. They should hire a legitimate GM, president of football operations, whatever you want to call it, and allow them to come in, determine anybody that's here that is worth their salt, and then go and hire all these other new people.
My concern from this year is you had a system in place with the previous regime that won you 6 Super Bowls and you went to 9.
Sure.
And then it fell off because you didn't, mostly because you didn't draft well.
Yeah, and because you lost Tom Brady.
But also, too, you if they had drafted better, they wouldn't still have a dynasty, but Bill would probably still be here and they'd still be pretty good. So you had that in place, and it feels like this year they've just kind of tried to do the opposite of everything they used to do.
Which is a dumb way to do it.
And it's like, how far do you want to move away from these things that won you 6 Super Bowls? Like, some of those things may be antiquated, and some of those things do need to change. But maybe some of those things, like we talked earlier in the show about how good they used to be at clock management and how good they used to be in situations. Like, you don't want to move far away from that stuff. So that's why, like, when people say blow it up, well, when you say blow it up, if you mean we're going to bring in Mike Vrabel, okay, that makes sense to me. If you say we're just going to blow it up and hire all new people for the sake of hiring all new people because we're angry, that doesn't really make sense to me because, again, you don't want to just keep moving as far away from possible as something that won you 6 Super Bowls. Yes, there are things that need to be changed. Parts of that are antiquated, but not all of it. And I think that's the mistake the Krafts and the organization made last year is everything was Bill's fault, why we're bad. We're going to do the opposite of Bill, and we're just going to be better next year. And as we've seen, they've been just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, I'm not saying to just kind of like extract all of this old Bill stuff entirely and just like wipe, like my version of wipe the slate clean is like the Kraft should not be in charge of football stuff. Like, that's kind of what happened last year is they were like,
yeah,
we want to take our
team back.
Yeah, we want to take our team back from Bill, and yet they made it worse. So instead, do what a good owner should do and hire an actual football person to take over your football team. So get like a president of football operations in here, somebody that's been around the league, that understands, may not be your best bud, but is a really smart football person, and allow them to come in, evaluate what you have, what's worth keeping, and let him blow out anything that he feels isn't worth keeping, and then reorganize the entire thing. And allow that person, that football czar, to really kind of set the stage and set a good foundation for you moving forward. Because right now, you don't have that. You have a bunch of little pieces, but you don't have an actual foundation at all. And that, to me, is the biggest issue right now for the Patriots. Let's go to Coach in New Hampshire, wants to talk about free agency. What's up, Coach?
Before I do, Shime, you are so spot on. Okay, think about if we ever brought a John Lynch in, a total football guy that really is going to make all the decisions to get rid of all the trash. Look, this is a very, very big problem. And I called today not to solve the entire problem, but to just focus on the offense. I really want to make this point. All these, this talk of the T. Higgins, of the DK Metcalf, all these skills guys, they're never coming here in free agency. They're never coming here. I think you got to look at offense this way. We're going to use free agency to build our offensive line, two, even three signings, maybe a couple of guys on defense. And we're going to use the draft to get all our skills guys. Here's why. Because that's how skills guys will come here. When they have no option, they're drafted by the team. We're not going to be able to trade for stud skilled guys. And like I said earlier, they're not going to want to come here. I know we have Drake May. That's not enough. A skills guy's career will go in the tank quickly signing with New England. We need the O-line through the draft, skills guys offensively. I'm sorry, the O-line through free agency. That's my point.
Thanks, Coach. I don't necessarily disagree. Like, I disagree that guys won't come here because I think if you pay a guy enough money, he'll walk through the door. And he's playing with Drake May, so, like, I think there's still a chance you can sign actual, you know, skill guys.
I think the thing to worry about, though, and I talked about this with Andy Hart earlier in the week, is, yes, you have a lot of money to spend, and yes, Drake May is a good selling point, but for the people that just say, hey, we're going to sign T. Higgins, we're going to sign Najee Harris, we're going to sign Ronnie Stanley, and we're going to be much better, you might get one of those guys, maybe two. You're not going to get this big haul of free agents and all pros coming. I mean, remember, they tried that in 2021, and looking back on it, Hunter Henry was a good signing, Matt Judon was a good signing, not really much beyond that with the quarter of $1 billion that they spent. And just look at Brandon Ayuk. The Patriots offered him the most money by about $5 million per year, and he chose to go back to San Francisco for less money in a much better situation. Now, you have Drake May back then. He wasn't a selling point, but if you're T. Higgins and the Patriots offer you $34 million a year and the Bengals offer you $30 million, good chance he stays in Cincinnati in a much better situation. That's just one example. But that's what I think people who think this is just going to be, hey, they have a bunch of money and they're going to throw at all these guys. You will get some of them, but you're not going to get all these guys that I think people expect them to just take the money and come here.
No, but that's why I think it's also so important that you have the first overall pick to trade down, because then with all those new assets that you acquire, you can go and trade for guys. Because when you trade for guys, they don't have a choice generally. Like, they're getting traded from one team to another. They come over, they're on their current contract, and then you can franchise tag them, you can give them contract extensions, you can do whatever you want once they're finally in the building. But having those assets is so important in trying to get those guys from other teams.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because as I said earlier in the show, I want to trade down in the first round and use one of the second round picks I have, one being their own and the other one being one they potentially get in a trade, and use that to get a veteran impact wide receiver.
Yes,
I think
please,
that's
God.
I think that's your best way to do it, because I think, look, T. Higgins is great, but even if you sign T. Higgins, he's not enough to make your offense good all of a sudden. Like, don't you think T. Higgins benefits from playing with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and for Zach Taylor?
Yeah, like, sure, but like
you don't have that.
He also makes your offense way better.
It does, but it doesn't all of a sudden just make you a good offense. Like, you're going to need another. Like,
you need offensive linemen. If you were to get
T. Higgins, isn't even going to solve your full receiver problem either.
He helps a lot. Like, he almost solves it, right? If you focus primarily on offensive line this offseason and you have a solid offensive line coming into next year, and then somehow you were able to acquire T. Higgins. T. Higgins kind of pushes those other receivers you have down into slots that are more appropriate for them. Guys like Kayshon Booty and Pop Douglas are now year two, year three,
That's
guys that are
enough,
farther right. down the depth chart, which is way better than being your one. Like, T. Higgins is really good and would help this offense immensely if at the same time you were to be able to find an offensive line.
Yeah, and I'm not disputing that T. Higgins would help, and I want them to get him. I just think he's not going to walk in here and all of a sudden you have a good skill group. Like, you have a much better skill group and he's really good, but you still don't have a number two receiver. You still have some questions at tight end beyond Hunter Henry. You still have some questions at running back with Ramondre Stevenson. So that's the thing. Yes, you should sign T. Higgins. I would sign T. Higgins and still use a second round pick to trade for another really good impact receiver. Or I would still use other money to bring in another tight end or another running back or something. So that's the thing I think.
You don't even need to use money to bring in a draft pick. Draft a guy in the fifth round. I mean, look at all of the running backs that are just coming into the NFL right now. I mean, Tyrone Tracy, fifth round draft pick. Like, they're everywhere. You can find explosive running backs in late rounds in the draft. Like, that's easy. That's one of the things I think Bill did so well in the draft is he was just constantly taking dart throws at running backs in, like, the middle to late rounds. And sometimes they'd hit and sometimes they wouldn't. But, like, a lot of the times you could find guys that would be relative impact players. And I think you can do that in today's NFL, especially with the amount of skill position guys that come out of college football that are talented.
I think, but we haven't really seen any evidence that they've done that in recent years.
Well, they haven't even tried. Like, they haven't drafted a running back since
Pierre
Ramondre.
Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris, though, right?
Oh, that's true. Strong's playing for the Browns.
He's not that good.
He would help your team a little bit. Like,
I don't know. He's not better than Gibson or Stevenson. Like, that's the issue. Like, you have T. Higgins. Okay, great. That, to me, though, it's just that's not the end of it. Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, sign T. Higgins, draft a left tackle, you'll have a good offense once again.
No, they you need more than just that. But, yeah. Like, at the same time, you don't need a ton. You have the most important thing. You have the quarterback. If you get T. Higgins, your other receivers kind of will lose attention from them, right? Because we can all agree that T. Higgins would attract the most attention out of your receivers.
And I think T. Higgins would be a legitimately really good to great player for the Patriots, too.
I agree. And I think if you were to bring back, like, Austin Hooper, the combination of Austin Hooper, Hunter Henry below T. Higgins, I think is huge, because I think Drake May has shown he likes throwing to his tight ends. He trusts his tight ends, and his tight ends have been pretty productive. So then when you take into consideration that it's like T number one, and then you have Hooper, Hunter Henry, Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty, it's like, okay, like, this is a workable skill position group. Like, this is not by any means one of the worst in football. You immediately find yourself at the very minimum right around the middle of the league.
I think your issue is you need two new starting offensive linemen, maybe three. You need probably two new starting receivers. And even on the tight end point, I mean, Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper, you have Jaheim Bell behind them, but you don't have anything really long-term at that position. And I would argue the same thing with running back, because even Stevenson's deal, it was a 4-year extension. It's really a 2-year guaranteed deal. Gibson's on a short contract as well. That's where I just think we have to be careful that, yes, they have Drake May, and I think he's going to be a great player. He's already a good player. But for this offense to go from where they are to being a good offense, there is maybe 4-5 guys that they need to interchange in this group. It's not just going to be T. Higgins and one offensive lineman draft pick.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of ways to get running backs in, though. Like, I don't care about getting, like, there's going to be a bunch of them in free agency. I mean, just off the top, right? Like, guys like Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Jeff Wilson, Nick Chubb, Javonte Williams, Alexander Mattison, like, all Amir Abdullah, all of those guys, J.K. Dobbins, all of those guys are going to be free agents this year. Cam Akers has looked good in Minnesota now that he's healthy. Like, those are all guys you can take cheap swings on and get them on your team. And it's like, okay, cool. Now we've the running back position. You can do running back by committee. Like, I think that's been proven.
Yeah, I'm not
in the
against
NFL.
That. Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, that to me, the most concerning thing, I think you're right, is the offensive line. That is the biggest project and undertaking of this offseason, and the thing they need to get right the most, not just because you need a good offensive line in football, but also you need to protect your good young rookie quarterback.
Yeah, right. That's a big part of this,
That's
too.
The biggest part.
Because we can talk all we want about T. Higgins or trading for Metcalf or signing whatever running back. If Drake May's getting smoked week in and week out because of a bad offensive line, it's not going to really do you any good.
Exactly. 617-779-7937. See a couple of you on the lines. We'll get to the final phone calls here in the final segment of Shime and Lions here on a beautiful Sunday in New England. Shyman Lyons with you here on Sunday morning ahead of WEEI Football Sunday. Wrapping things up, we've been talking all Patriots all morning long. It is Week 18. It is their final game of the season as they take on the Buffalo Bills. Kickoff for that one is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I will be at that game today, which is why I'm not on WEEI Football Sunday today.
Shyman, you rooting for a loss today in the stands?
Yeah. I mean,
you
like,
bring a Go Bills sign?
I almost wore, so I have family that lives out in the Rochester, New York region, so the upstate New York there. Huge Buffalo Bills fans. For Christmas, I got a Buffalo Bills quarter zip. Almost wore that to the game today. Instead, I'm wearing my Drake May jersey because he's my boy. I will support him no matter what.
Oh, there you go. All right, the Drake May jersey. And you know what? You can support him for the first quarter or so, and then perfect. They'll sit him down and you can support Joe Milton.
Awesome. I'm glad this will be the perfect game to go. I'll have a nice snack, have a drink or two. It'll be great. I'll just enjoy the atmosphere. The old, 100 people that'll be at
Yeah, you're one of those people. You don't get food at games or drinks or anything, right?
Not generally, no.
Yeah,
I try
neither.
To eat
no,
beforehand.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'll get drinks. So, like, when I go, like, we went to a Bruins game a week or so ago, and, like, I'll splurge on some beers, but I won't get food and beers just because then it's like you're asking to pay $500 every time you walk in the door.
Then you're just paying for another ticket, basically.
Exactly, which is insanity, by the way. But fortunately, I was invited to today's game, so it's on the donut.
All right.
Little all Greg right. Hill Show outing. The whole show's going. We're going to the game outside of Wiggy. Wiggy won't be there, but the rest of us will be there. We'll all be at the game enjoying it together. A little bonding experience, if you will. So it'll be a fun time. I'm excited.
Nice. Well, so hopefully, Shime, you get a decent game regardless of who's playing quarterback.
Yes, that would be nice. I don't expect that because, for the most part, 90% of the Patriots games this year haven't even been good games, regardless of who's been at quarterback. So I don't really expect a good game. But then again, who knows? Maybe Mitch Trubisky versus Drake May is the shootout of the century that we all needed.
That's true. Yeah, and I think this has potential to be a real ugly one, considering the Bills are going to be playing most of their backups. But if you get some Joe Milton time, that'll at least be fun for
you. Do you think we see Joe Milton today?
I do. I think you see Joe Milton.
The people get what they want.
Probably starting in the second quarter, definitely by the second half, I think you see Joe Milton. I think Drake May's in there for a couple series to just get another start under his belt, work with Cole Strange, work with DeMario Douglas and AVP, one more time heading into the offseason. But I think it's going to either be two series or even if he on the first series takes any sort of big hit, I think you're going to see Joe Milton right after that.
Oh, yeah, he's done. If he takes any kind of big hit, he is done right away. Like, there's no reason to keep him in that football game if he starts taking bad hits. None.
And again, the value of Joe Milton in this game, if he plays well enough that you can say he can be our long-term backup and we can move on from Jacoby Brissett and save that $8 million, that in itself is really valuable because why else spend a draft pick on Joe Milton in the same draft that you drafted Drake May unless you hope that he can be your long-term backup quarterback. And look, I was there in training camp. You and I, we saw him in the preseason. He was about as far from ready to play as in an NFL game as you can
be. Oh, yeah. Total train wreck. But
in the last 5 months, though, has he progressed? Does he look today like, hey, he could play in an NFL game or two next year if Drake May was hurt? That in itself could be a really valuable thing to come from today.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Maybe we do get some Joe Milton, and at the very least, there's some Michael Bishop hype there in a Week 18 game.
Michael Bishop, nice throwback.
Thank you. I do what I can. And that would be fun. Like, at least if Joe Milton's out there, I can at least have some fun. If Jacoby Brissett's out there, I'm just going to be bored. I'm going to want to leave. Like, that's how it's going to be cold.
Jacoby Brissett's out there, they might win. So you got to be careful.
Unless they run the football every down, and then they'll probably fumble a few times, and then it won't matter, and we'll be fine. But, I think ultimately my prediction is the New England Patriots win this football game. I think that's my prediction. Yeah, I might bet on
that. Is that just a gut feeling thing, or is that the Bills are resting so many guys?
No, it's kind of a gut feeling thing. Like, I knew the New York Giants would win a game here at the end of the season just because that's just kind of what they do. I mean, last year, they beat all of the three teams that picked ahead of them for quarterbacks in the NFL draft. So I feel like I was like, they'll win a game here at the end. And, of course, Drew Lock had one of the greatest games in NFL history somehow, some way, according to EPA per play. Like,
Maybe that'll be your long-term backup. They could sign Drew Lock and thank him for helping them get the number one pick this offseason.
I'm in. Lions, it's been a lot of fun, bud. Thanks so much for joining me this morning on a nice, crisp Sunday morning. Hope you and your family had a wonderful holiday and that you're ready for the new year. Off to a rousing start, I hope.
Yeah, same to you, Shime. It's been a pleasure, and I really hope you enjoy the good life at the game today there in that Greg Hill suite, and hopefully the Patriots give you something. I don't know what it's going to be, yeah. Scheim, but hopefully they give you something to be entertained by today.
Ideally, that would be great. I would love to see them give us something. And shout out to all the text lines. Thank you very much for the congratulations. I got engaged yesterday, Lions, so it was
Whoa,
a big day.
Whoa, Scheim, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a big day yesterday. Thank you. A lot of people on the text line wishing me well. I appreciate you all. Thank you very much. It was a wonderful day, bit of a whirlwind, but here we are, and it is off.
So you're going to do the wedding in studio?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, WEI.
I'm sure your
wedding.
Fiance yep. will go for that.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, yeah, she'll love that, I bet. No, keep it locked right here, though. WEI Football Sunday with Mego, Arcand, and Dan Ball coming up. They also have all the normal guests, Fitzy, Hart, Tommy Curran, Wiggy's Keys, the whole nine yards. They'll be with you, taking you up right until kickoff. It's been Scheim and Lyons here on WEI Lyons. Thank you, and we will talk to you next time. See ya.